Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Stock Market Today. It's Ali Korman, Justin Nielsen here with a breakdown of the action in today's session, Monday, March 4th, where we saw indexes pause after a big week last week. And underneath the surface, a lot of interesting movers.
Yeah, for as much as it was interesting to see the pause, there were some still big gainers in the market today. So we'll cover a little of those as side notes, but also some breakouts that are worth watching and some setups. So we'll go over BlackRock today, which I do own a position in that. We'll also cover Rollins, one that is maybe sneaking out under the radar, and finish off with Samsara that has earnings later on this week.
Okay, well, we'll get to those stocks, but first let's take a look at the major indexes. The NASDAQ today down 0.4%. We have the S&P 500 down 0.1% today, the Dow off about 0.25%, and the Russell 2000 down 0.1%. So a little bit of a disappointment to see that fade as the session progressed, Justin, because small caps and mid caps especially were looking pretty bright earlier on in the day, but that doesn't mean that pausing here necessarily spells doom for this strong uptrend that we are in.
That's right. I mean, because this uptrend has been all about resilience and, you know, even pauses where it's been coming down to moving average lines or even in dramatic fashion where it's been dropping doesn't seem to be holding this market back. So I don't think that we have to, you know, again, as you said, it's not time to be doomsday clocks at midnight necessarily, or, you know, getting your canned goods and going to the bunker. But it's just worth noting that, hey, there were some defensive areas that were kind of getting the love today. But the uptrend is intact here. The NASDAQ composite did cross above that 16,200 and change level from November of 2021. It's staying above 16,000, so that's a positive. The S&P 500, that's staying above 5,000, so, you know, no problem there. It's looking good. It's getting comfortable above that level. And the Russell 2000 was such an important level that it kept on hitting its head at time after time after time, and, you know, now it's had a full week, more than a week above that 2000 level, and it's been able to stay there. So again, it's gotten over that 2071 level from the prior week, but we're still hanging in there. So this is not by any means a disastrous situation. And I did really quick want to point out you've got a little bit of a color change on your charts there, Ali.
We do. We're going green. And we have market surge charts. So we are very excited about this debut, not only with new branding, but also some really cool new features, Justin.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was something that we were talking about on IBD Live. There's going to be a lot of webinars coming out on this to talk about some of these new features.
Podcast episode
coming out. That's going to be dropping on Thursday morning with Scott St. Clair. So yeah, we're going to try and get a lot of the word out on some of the new features that we have. And again, some of the things that will be hopefully coming a little bit quicker now that we've done this huge migration. Mammoth, yeah. If you will.
Exactly. Yeah. So really excited about that. Okay. Let's now take a look at the 10-year treasury yield, up a little bit today. But if you take a look at the weekly chart here, maybe we're finding some sort of trading range. We're off the lows, but we're also off the highs. Can we find a happy medium here?
Yeah. And I think that there's certainly, we've got some Fed talk, you know, this week. We've got a jobs report coming out on Friday that a lot of people are going to be looking at. So there's definitely some economic reports, and this 10-year treasury yield, even the market itself has been very sensitive to these economic reports, because it's all about what does that mean for the Fed's first cut? You know, March, I think everyone's kind of taken off the table, but, you know, is May still a possibility? What is that first cut? When is it going to happen? So, and how many? I think that's, you know, we saw, I think the projections going up to 7, and then, you know, I think that's being tempered down. So as we get some of this economic data and, you know, some kind of clarity from the Fed and adjustments, I think there could be some volatility around that. But again, so far, every time we've got knocked down, we've gotten right back up again.
Absolutely. Okay, let's take a look at some sector ETFs. Here's a look at SMH, up another 1.6% today, Justin, after a big week last week, up 5.7%. So chip stocks and a few in particular, I think, looking pretty unstoppable. But just when you think, you know, the good times can't get any better, it presents a tricky situation for traders. Are stocks starting to top, or do we just have this crazy momentum that's going to keep going?
Yeah. I mean, we keep on saying, oh, the market's a little bit extended here. These stocks are extended here, but they just keep on getting extended-er, you know? So this is one of the things. As a trader, you have to realize you are not going to get out at the top. You know, you might do it every now and then in a 40-year career, a few times you get lucky, but generally, that's not the goal. The goal is to be getting in at a reasonable price where the risk reward asymmetry is in your favor for the reward and risking very little. And then from there, it's really kind of how much do you capture of the move and what is reasonable? And especially when the risk starts getting greater and the potential for the reward starts diminishing, you have to take that into consideration. Now, of course, there are those cases where the stocks, the market will go up even more than you expect them to. But a lot of times you kind of see that mean reversion happen and it comes back down to earth, you know, and that can happen fairly quickly. But SMH, the VanEck Semiconductor ETF, I mean, this hardly looks like an ETF. I mean, this just looks like, you know, a leveraged ETF at the very least, or a stock. But you know, it just goes to show how strong the chips are. You've got a number of leaders that have been, you know, just going further and further, a little bit more participation from different, you know, you got the fabless groups, the manufacturers, the equipment makers, you know, there's kind of all of them participating together. But yeah, you are drawing a line there. And one of the things that you do have to be careful of is when you start getting beyond that line too much, you know, when you start having a trend and when you get outside of that trend by too much, again, you usually expect some mean reversion. So you have to kind of build that into your plan, your scenario analysis, as you are looking at stocks and sectors, that a pullback here would be very normal and not necessarily even spell doom for this sector. You are still, you know, you've got a lot of distance above that 50-day moving average line, even the 21-day moving average line. But a lot of times when you start crossing those upper channel lines, that is kind of telling you, hey, this stock might be getting a little overheated and might need to pause.
Right. And then you have some strategies at your disposal for adjusting for that, right? Taking profits into strength, looking for downside reversals, looking at the prior couple of days lows, the short-term moving averages. And if you are willing to sit through a base, then you have to have a position size that you're comfortable with being able to do that too. So
yeah, because remember, when you sit through a base, you have to be expecting, well, gosh, a lot of cup with handles. You know, the correction is 20, 25%, even 30%. Right. So you have to consider, okay, with the position size that I have, and remember, sometimes these grow beyond where you started. You might have started at 10%, but for some of these stocks, they're up so much, you might be looking at a much larger weight in your portfolio. And if it comes down 30%, what does that do to your portfolio? What does that do to your, you know, your psyche, your trading mentality? So you want to make sure that you're not in a position where you can't handle that. And as you mentioned, there's a lot of things you can do, a lot of ways to approach it. You can either be raising some cash in that position, raising some cash elsewhere in your portfolio. You could be hedging, using options, put options. There's all sorts of ways that you can kind of minimize that risk, but you still have to, no matter how well you're doing, you have to keep risk management top of mind.
Yes. Okay, Justin, moving on, let's take a look at XLU, because you did mention there being a little bit of a defensive bent to the day's action, and utilities up 1.7% today.
Yeah, utilities, you know, XLU is the utilities for the sector spider funds. There's 11 of these sector spider funds kind of breaking down the S&P 500 and the utilities. You know, that was the leading sector, followed closely by XLRE, which is the real estate sector. So these are generally thought of as a little bit more defensive, but that's where the leadership was. So I think we do have to be on the lookout for some possible sector rotation. One day does not a rotation make. You know, so I'm not, you know, trying to overemphasize this, but I think it's something that you have to be aware of. I don't think that utilities are going to be where the leadership goes, but we have been seeing a lot of strength in healthcare, financials, industrials, mm-hmm. You know, so that's XLV, XLF, XLI. These have been looking very strong. So it hasn't just only been technology, and that's it. There has been more participation elsewhere. And not just in different sectors, but as we noted at the beginning, from different market caps. So not only is it the large mega caps, those trillion-dollar companies like the mega Magnificent Seven that were leading so much of 2023, but the Russell 2000 participating more now, as well as the mid-cap area.
Yes. And there's just to show that. Okay, we have to take a look at one more ETF before we get to the stocks, and that's Bitcoin. Here's the BlackRock iShares ETF, IBIT, up 7.4% today. A lot of volume coming into this ETF and a lot of these Bitcoin spot price ETFs here, Justin, just really on a tear.
Yeah. I mean, you know, look, it's you're getting that exposure to Bitcoin and it's going to follow the price, right? So that's what's happening. Now you have some stocks with Bitcoin exposure and that kind of correlate to Bitcoin, like Coin. You know, that's one that we've been following for a while. You know, those can have outsized moves. This was up 11%. MicroStrategy, which owns a lot of Bitcoin, that has MSTR, you know, that was up 24%. But you know, look, the Bitcoin, it's not going anywhere. You know, it's at new highs. This is something that more and more people are talking about. The halving, is big news that's coming in April. And the fact that these ETFs launched, it was a little bit of a, you know, pullback on the news,
sell the news
type thing, but they quickly recovered and Bitcoin was, you know, jumping to new highs, shortly after. So, I think, you know, especially when you've got some big players like BlackRock and Fidelity that are in here, you know, that's just kind of giving a little bit more, I guess, a stamp of approval, if you will, to Bitcoin. And I think that's also something that's going to be capturing more and more investors' attention. So we'll see how these grow, because again, the halving is going to be reducing supply. And if there's still the same amount of demand or even more, mm-hmm. You know what happens from your economics class.
Exactly. So way, way, way extended to be buying here, but there have been a number of technical buy spots here, Justin, that coincided with this upside move over the last couple of weeks and months here. Now it seems like it goes back to that question. Do you take profits? Do you try to hold for a bigger move and making sure you know what makes sense for your trading style and personality and mm-hmm. risk tolerance?
Absolutely. And remember, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. Yeah. You know, you can be making partial decisions, both on the buy and the sell side. So Scott St. Clair talks about this a lot of times on IBD Live. You make a sell and then you find out, was that a good decision? If the market, mm-hmm. you know, if the stock keeps on going up, well, then maybe you don't sell anymore and you just see what happens. If the stock goes down, well, then maybe you sell a little bit more and eventually you get out of the position. But you're not hurt as much if the stock goes down. And yeah, you're not participating as much if the stock goes up, but you still got a little piece in there.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Okay, well, speaking of BlackRock, let's go to BLK, today's stock of the day, up 2.4% in some above average volume.
Yeah, and I just want to point out how tight this base was here, this flat base. So yeah, you can look at the fact that the relative strength line has been lagging a little bit because it did this base while a lot of stocks were moving to start this year. It was basing, but it's a 7% depth. If you go to the weekly chart, you can see that this is a pretty tight base here. It really was very mild and for the most part remained above that 10-week moving average line. And so now today we had a breakout above that that flat base. And as I mentioned, I do own some shares of this myself. This was also our stock of the day. So I would highly recommend for folks to take a look at the article that was written by Aparna. She did a great job of kind of breaking down some of the things that are going on with BlackRock. They've got an acquisition that they just did. Of course, they have that Bitcoin ETF that is getting a lot of flows. They are between it and Fidelity, I think they have something like 79% of the market share on that. So there's some very interesting things going on with BlackRock. And it's not that BlackRock is alone here. We've been talking about some of these investment management firms, mm-hmm. whether it's in the private equity space like KKR, and I do have a position in KKR as well. This is also on IBD's leaderboard. APO, Apollo Management in the investment management, that's been interesting to look at. So, you know, BlackRock is not alone. There are others in this investment management space that have been looking interesting as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, let's head on over to ROL. This is Rollins in the building sector, breaking out of a cup with handle base up 2.5% to kick off the week.
Yeah, so this is, you know, I mean, it's not as sexy as AI. It's pest and termite control. I think they bought the old Orkin, and you know that's who these guys are. This was actually, you can go back to Darvis's book, Nicholas Darvis's book, How I Made a Million, and I think this might have been in there. It was definitely 50s, 60s. You can go back pretty far on this Rollins stock. It's been around for a long time, but. Right now, the building maintenance and services group is number 7 out of 197. So, you know, there is something. Yeah. So it's definitely getting some strength there with some other members in the group. And this has come out of a nice cup with handle. So if you look at the daily or the weekly chart, you can see, okay, this is a deeper base, right? BlackRock was only 7%. The handle here is 9%. But if you have a depth of 29% and then you get that handle at 9%, it does show tighter action. So you had a very strong move off the bottom. It's really just kind of consolidated those gains. Now, your expectations should be a little bit dampened. You know, don't expect this to, you know, go up as much as, you know, SMCI, for instance. But this is something that is setting up. So sometimes it's nice to balance out your portfolio with some slower movers, some less high octane stocks. And since I did bring up SMCI, I did want to just mention that that was another one of those stocks that did
honorable mention today.
An honorable mention, up almost 20% today. It got added to the S&P 500, or it will be. It got announced. It's going to be replacing Whirlpool. So it's funny. This is one that's been really kind of helping the Russell 2000 a lot. The Russell 2000 doesn't change too much. I think the next time they're going to be announcing preliminary additions and deletions is going to be at the end of May. And then the end of June is when those will go into effect. So so right now it's still in the small cap index, but it's also going to be in the S&P 500.
Right. Yeah. Very interesting stuff. Promotion here for SMCI and some excitement behind that. Okay. Let's round things out with a look at IoT. An AI sort of play here, Justin, working on a base with earnings this week.
Yeah. So you look at, you know, Samsara here, and this looks like a pretty nice consolidation here. Looks pretty flat for IoT, but keep in mind the depth here, very different from BlackRock. This is a 19% consolidation. It's not a flat base. It's too deep for that. 15% is our criteria there. But for IoT, this is holding up pretty nicely. A lot of that action above the 10-week moving average line. So this is, I think, one to watch. You look at the daily, and I think this is kind of setting up to potentially break above that 36, 37 area. The problem is we do have earnings coming up on this. So March 7th after the close, if this is something that you own, you know, you kind of have to mark that on your calendar. If it's not something you own, you have to be a little careful stepping in front of those earnings. This earnings season has been, it's what David Ryan called the gold mines or the landmines, right? You've had a number of stocks that were up 20% or more. We could look at ARM, for instance, you know, that was up 50% on its earnings report. Meta, you know, even though it was a $1 trillion company, it didn't stop it from adding $200 billion and a big move, 20% gain on its earnings. And then you've also had on the downside stocks like Palo Alto that got, you know, clobbered, Snowflake. got really, you know, punished on its earnings. So, you know, 20% moves to the downside. And that does make it difficult stepping in front of an earnings call. But, you know, you still have to be aware of what stocks are setting up. And look, if it doesn't have one of those huge moves, maybe IoT gives you another chance.
Great. Well, we'll cap it there. Thank you so much, Justin. And thanks everyone for tuning in. That is it for today. And we'll see you in the morning on iabdliveinvestors.com/iabdlive for all the details there. We'll see you in the morning. And then we'll also see you right back here tomorrow after the close. This show is for informational and educational purposes only, and nothing should be construed as a recommendation to buy, hold, or sell any securities. Any securities and investment strategies discussed may not be suitable for all investors. Make sure to consider consulting with your financial advisor before making investment decisions.